cut. Listening to the European Uppercut Podcast, a podcast that talks about professional wrestling. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for downloading us right here on the brand new Trending Topics Network. My name's Kai Valentine. I'm going to be with you for today's show, and we're going to talk all about the world of professional wrestling. We got lots to come on today's show. I have been binge watching a couple of episodes of the Mae Young Classic. Yes, I know that it is the 12th of September when I'm recording this. Is it the 12th? No, it's the 14th. It's the 14th of September. My days are all over the place, and I know that the finals have already apparently happened. I'm currently just at the end of episode 3, so I'm going to give you my thoughts on episode 2 and 3 that I've just binge-watched over the last 2 hours. However, I will get into that in a little bit. We've also got the emails and the news and two fantastic shows from Raw and SmackDown this week, especially Raw. I really enjoyed. So lots to get to. I'm all on my own this week, but we wanted to get a show out there as quickly as possible. It was great to have PK back on the air last week, and exciting things to come over the next few months. I hear that a bus driver from down south is trying to get back on the show as well. That shouldn't be too long, and we got to get the Scotsman back on eventually. Come on, legend. It's been a while. It's been a few weeks now. We need to get you back on. Anyway, we've still got lots more to come, but let's get started with the emails. We're going to delve into this week's email pot, which is a little bit empty. I know that I did two of Mr. Forthrow's emails last week, so maybe he thought that one was going to be read out this week. Oh well, let's get into them though, because we have one email. One email in this week, and it's from none other than the living legend himself. But he's got lots of talking points, so I will get into them now. He says, "Hey Kai, I thought I'd throw a few agree or egregious questions at you this week. Now, I've not read through any of these yet, so I'm getting to hear them at the same time that you are for the first time. Let's get into them." He says, "Joe Coffey will be in NXT by WrestleMania. Agree or egregious?" Ooh. Will he be in the WWE NXT by WrestleMania? I'm going to say yes. He seems to be on their radar at the minute. You know, he's facing Cassius Ohno. They wouldn't put a WWE guy in there. He's facing Cassius Ohno in ICW, for those who don't know. The first time in a long time that it seems that WWE seem to be trading talent or letting their talents go out to independents that they have connections with. We have heard rumours that ICW have made some connections with WWE and are allowing them on their network soon. But no, Joe Coffey is obviously someone that they've had on their radar. I'm pretty sure that he appeared as a Rosebud at one point. But if you're going to... And actually, they did mention on the homepage of the WWE app, which I just want to get to. I'll come back to that in a moment, but because it just reminded me of something. But they did show on the WWE app that Joe Coffey was facing Cassius Ohno, and it said his name, and I thought that's got to show that he's on their radar at least. So will he be a part of NXT by WrestleMania? It's a difficult one because you can never put timings on these things, but I wouldn't be shocked if that is the case. But thank you very much for that one. And the point that I was going to bring up was that actually it's reminded me of something. Because I used to always complain on this show about the WWE Network being... When you went onto the WWE Network, you'd have to go through the homepage of the app, which meant that you would go through spoilers if you were watching the pay-per-view after it had aired. And I always thought that was a really stupid thing. But now, if you go to the app, and I'm going to do that on my phone now as we're talking, if you go to the WWE app, you wait for an incredibly long time, apparently, for it to load up. 3, 2, 1, come on. And it opens up with the WWE Network, which obviously doesn't... If you're logged into the network, it just logs in on the network, which shows no spoilers. Or you can click on the latest news section where you'll... The day after the... You know, the day after the Royal Rumble, when Randy Orton wins, it will say Randy Orton won the Royal Rumble, which I saw, or Goldberg... Well, actually, no, Goldberg beating Brock Lesnar, I wasn't aware of that, so that was pretty cool. But yeah, most of the time it was always a case of you had to learn the trick. You had to learn the trick of putting a piece of paper over the network and quickly learning how to do it as if you didn't have vision, which is a skill that you no longer need. But anyway, let's move on with... Oh, that was a tangent. Get used to those. When I do these solo shows... Fully unedited tangents. Let's move on to the next degree or egregious question from Living Legend. He says, Dolph Ziggler will hold a title belt by Royal Rumble. I'm quite liking what they're doing with Ziggler right now. I am a fan. I think that it could be put together a little bit better, and maybe they're not letting him do exactly what he wants to do, but if this is his idea, then it's great. If it's the writer's idea, or even better. But I like it when they do these little things that are a little bit different, and that's what they seem to be pushing for at the minute, you know, with all the stuff with Cena and Reigns, and then you see the stuff with The Miz and Enzo on Monday night, and then you see what Ziggler's doing over on SmackDown. Really, really enjoying it, and I think that it's ace. And I think this could be really cool if they let it carry on and it doesn't get too stale. Now, I've not seen everything to do with this on SmackDown yet. I'm pretty sure I saw Dolph Ziggler dressed in Ultimate Warrior face paint, which kind of makes me think I kind of want to see this, but I love all this cheesy nostalgia stuff, and I love it when they do stuff like this, so I'm very happy. I love it. Yeah. But back to Legend's question, do I think he'll hold a title belt by the Royal Rumble? I'm gonna go with no, and that's very difficult to do in modern WWE time when you look at the fact that at the minute, titles seem to be changing willy-nilly, and also the fact that there are so many titles. But I just don't see a position where he ends up in the... I mean, it's the United States title on SmackDown. Who is the United States champion? It's AJ Styles. And that... I don't see him taking the title off Styles. Nope. I am going to stick by saying egregious to that one. On to the next one, his third degree or egregious. The current NXT group known as CFO will hold the NXT tag titles and NXT championship at the same time within the next 6 months. Ooh, I'm going to say egregious. I think that that could happen at some point, and I think it will happen at some point, but I'm going to say egregious for now, but not within the next... I don't think it's going to happen within the next 6 months, but I'm very excited to see where this goes with those three guys. I think they are doing... They did a great job of debuting them at TakeOver, and it's going to be very, very interesting to see where that all leads. I think closer to WrestleMania, closer to that takeover is where they will be showing their full dominance of the whole divisions. But it's going to be very, very compelling to watch for sure. And finally, number four, Kurt Angle will face a heel Jason Jordan in a match at WrestleMania. Now, that was my initial call when this happened. That's what I thought. It's whether Jason Jordan's going to be able to hold on to... It's whether he's going to be able to hold on to the sort of... He's not getting much fan response at the moment, good or bad, which is the scary thing, because he's not getting booed, which is good for a babyface, but he's not getting cheered. And I've got a feeling that if he does turn heel, it may not work out as well as we all think it's going to. But I think it's going to be a point of let's give it a shot. Jason Jordan versus Kurt Angle, I would love to see. I'd probably prefer it more than Kurt Angle versus Triple H or something like that, because it's something that we've not seen before. It's a new upstart getting a rub from a legend in a win or a loss. But I'm going to say agree for this one. I've said agree just to a lot of them. I'm going to say agree. Yes, Kurt Angle versus Jason Jordan at WrestleMania. I'm going to stick with my original thoughts and hope and pray that they're able to turn this storyline around. Personally, I think the last few weeks they've been doing some great stuff by just throwing him in there with matches with John Cena, with Roman Reigns, and talking about how Jason Jordan is a rookie. They're not trying to sell him as this big, like, monster character that's already great. They're saying, no, let's start him from the bottom. And I think that's a really interesting way to go about it. But what do you think? Do you agree with any of my... Do you agree with any of my statements? Do you think any of them are egregious? Let us know. Get in touch. EuroUppercut@gmail.com on the email or on Twitter @TheEUPod. Thank you very much to the living legend for that one. And let's get on with the show. And it's now time for this.
It's time for the Nutso Knockout News!
Hello and welcome to the Nutso Knockout News, the New Zealand edition. Has the Mae Young Classic been a success? Although it's become more challenging to gauge WWE success in the network era, the fact that the Mae Young Classic's 8 episodes each rank in the top 10 most watched programs on the network over the past week seems to suggest the all-female elimination tournament has successfully engaged subscribers.
When my hand goes up, your mouth goes shut!
Dave Meltzer reported last week that the long-term plan for Ronda Rousey's involvement with WWE is a match at WrestleMania 34 involving either Stephanie McMahon, borrowing from their interaction at WrestleMania 31, or Charlotte Flair, with whom Rousey is currently engaged through the MMA vs. WWE Four Horsewoman angle.
Oh yeah!
WWE stock was down 1.91% on Friday, closing at $21.61 per share. The high was $21.97 and the low was $21.56.
We don't boo you because you support Russia. We boo you because you're both a couple of world-class international a-holes.
Christy Hemme is pregnant and expecting quadruplets. The former WWE diva and TNA knockout revealed the big news last Thursday in a video posted on her YouTube channel. Hemme, who is 15 weeks pregnant, said it's a high-risk pregnancy, therefore she plans to spend most of her pregnancy in bed or in hospital.
Gross.
Earlier this week, Ric Flair tweeted out a photo as he continues to recover from last month's health scare. Flair was all smiles, saying, "Finally looking as only I can look. Woo!"
I have one pair of skinny jeans, and I'm going to wear them every week just to piss you off.
And celebrating birthdays this week, Angelina Love is 36.
How you doing?
Baron Corbin turns 33.
How you doing?
Whilst Teddy Long is 70.
How you doing?
And that'll do it for this week's Not So Knockout News. We'll be right back.
thank you very much to Mr. GBL, as always, for breaking down the news for us here on the European Uppercut podcast. And let's get into a few of the stories now. Mae Young Classic has topped the network's best most viewed videos, and like GBL said it in the news, it's the main way that you can judge how popular things are on the network now and in WWE, and very, very happy to see that. I know a lot of people were worried that it may not get the same viewership or the same popularity as the Cruiserweight tournament, but they've hit it on the right section, putting this on the network where our type of fans are, fans like us that actually want to go out and find these types of tournaments, are there. So they know what they're looking for, and they know that that key audience are the people. The, how many is it? 2.2 million or 1.6 million? I don't know. But they're the people that are buying the network. So put it on there and it works wonders. So congratulations, and we're going to talk more about the Mae Young Classic in just a little bit. Next up on the news, Ronda Rousey versus Stephanie McMahon or Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania. A video came out earlier this week from the Mae Young Classic Finals where Ronda Rousey was in attendance, and she talked about whether she was... They basically asked her, are you going to be involved in WWE? And she said, I don't want to answer that question because I'm not here to make this about me. I'm here to support my friend. And I thought that was a really cool thing to do. Probably also because she can't talk about it or doesn't know an answer, but still a nice thing to do. I personally think that Rousey will be involved at WrestleMania 34 next year, and I think that she will go up against Stephanie McMahon. I think Charlotte Flair would be a great choice as well, but I really don't see what good comes out of that, because if at the end, either... Rousey's probably not wanting to come in and lose, let's face it. So it's probably going to be Charlotte Flair. If we take most celebrity matches, Charlotte Flair is probably going to win. Lose, sorry. Charlotte Flair is probably going to lose, which means that it doesn't do great for her. And also Rousey, then it's like, well, she'd stick around, maybe, she might not. Whereas with Stephanie McMahon, if she comes in, that would be a great program. She beats Stephanie McMahon. Stephanie McMahon doesn't lose face because she's not a wrestler. And if she loses in a few minutes to Ronda Rousey just kicking the shit out of her, then it doesn't matter. That, I think, would be the perfect way to go. Plus, it links back to what was, 4 years ago now? Still, that would be fantastic. I would personally go with Rousey versus Steph, but let me know if you disagree. On to the next story. Christy Hemme is pregnant. Congratulations to Christy Hemme. Quadruplets. Wow. I am glad I am not you right now. Every time I see a story like this, it makes me glad I've got testicles. There's a name for the show. I am very, very happy to hear that she is safe and well, and that they are looking after her. It's the best thing for her to stay in bed and or in hospital, because obviously it is a very high risk pregnancy situation. But no, congratulations to Christy Hemme on the wonderful news, and we wish you all the best from everyone here at the European Uppercut Podcast. On to the next one. Ric Flair is doing really well. Another great story. There's some really good news stories this week. There's been no bad news stories, which is fantastic. Ric Flair doing well after his health scare last month. Ric, we thought we nearly lost you, but luckily you're hanging on in there. Woo! And finally, Teddy Long is 70. Wow. I didn't realise he was that old. But maybe that's just me. Thank you to GBL once again for sending us the news. As always, keeping you all up to date with everything going on in the world of professional wrestling. We've still got lots more to talk about, and in just a moment, I'm going to be talking more about the Mae Young Classic. So stay tuned, stay with us here on the European Uppercut Podcast.
This is a Honky Tonk Man, the greatest WWE Intercontinental Champion of all time, and you're listening to the European Uppercut on the Trending Topics Network.
I'm just a Honky Tonk Man. I'm cool. I'm cocky. I'm
Let's go, girls. Come on. I'm going out tonight. I'm feeling alright. Gonna let it all hang out. Wanna make some noise.
Couldn't resist that. I have been checking out the Mae Young Classic. I've been promising for weeks, and I know that Legend was taking the mickey out of me the other week for not getting round to it, but I finally had a chance to sit down and watch another two episodes. It's been a busy few weeks, but I'm not going to bore you with that at the end. So I sat down and I watched episode 2 and 3. I know that Legend reviewed episode 1 a few weeks ago, so I thought, you know what, I'll sit down, I'll watch them, and I'll let you know exactly what I thought on all the matches. But I won't keep this playing in the background for too long because obviously it's going to distract you. But I will tell you that I've really enjoyed these last two episodes. I've heard it gets better as it goes along as well, but seeing names like Piper Niven, who I've seen some of her stuff from here in the UK, I've always wanted to see her live since I saw her on the special episode of World of Sport earlier this year, and I always hear things from Legend about her. Dakota Kai, I keep hearing lots of stuff from our listener Kata, all about that, and that's always been something. He keeps talking about her, and obviously with a name like Kai, she's going to be brilliant, and very, very impressed. But those are two names off the top of my head that I really enjoyed. We're going to talk about it more right after this here on the European Uppercut Podcast.
The best thing.
A little bit better for us to concentrate with. Let's take a look then. I started at episode 2 a few hours ago. Episode 1 I loved. We talked about it briefly a few weeks ago on the show, so I'll keep you up to date on the episodes just in case you're behind and you want to tune out for a little bit and skip forward. But no, episode 2 was alright, actually, yeah. There's a couple of dud matches in there, but we'll get to those. The first match, though, was Mercedes Martinez, and she defeated Xia Li. Now, if I pronounce any names wrong during this episode, I am so sorry. I can pronounce Shinsuke Nakamura now. I'm learning. I learn quick, I promise. But no, Xia Li versus Mercedes Martinez, I was really impressed with. I didn't know anything about either girl beforehand. Very, very hard hitting, which is something that I'll get into in a little bit, but I've really enjoyed about this tournament. And the Dragon Sleeper for Mercedes Martinez getting the win was great. Really, really enjoyed that match. It got me pumped to watch the next few matches for sure. Now on to the next match. That was Rachel Evers, who is the daughter of Paul Ellering, versus Marty Bell. Rachel Evers versus Marty Bell. And I tell you something, I was highly disappointed with this match. I've heard great things about Marty Bell, and she didn't live up to any expectation. it was over extremely quickly, but Paul Ellering's daughter, Rachel Evers, looked good, and she's going to move on to the next round. They didn't put much into the packages beforehand. I always thought, you know, these are really, really, really cool. They build up the women and you get to know them within 90 seconds, even if you've not followed any of their career, or maybe you know their name. So they normally do a great job, but with Marti Belz, I was just there like, I get that you're a powerful Dominican girl, but what else? It was a blink and you miss it match, which was unfortunate, but there's going to be some of those matches on there somewhere, I guess. But you'd think if you're bringing these women in, you'd have given them a little bit more time. Maybe it was down to the women that we don't know. We don't know at the end of the day. But let's move on. So Rachel Evers gets the win with a roll-up. And yeah, a little bit of a dud for me, unfortunately. But the next match was one that I actually really enjoyed. This was the Aussie, Rhea Ripley, versus Miranda Salinas. And Miranda Salinas, a 5 foot girl, Booker T's reality of wrestling school, obviously trained by one of the best in the business, and she was, you know, she caught my eye and I went, you know what, she could be really good. But then I saw Rhea Ripley and I went, wow, I like her. I think that she's got the look for this, in that she just looked dominated. She looks dominant. She looked like she could kill anyone in that ring, and she looked like someone that I could imagine being on the main roster. Someone that you never want to throw out comparisons when you're doing these kind of things, but she looked like she would fit in well with a Charlotte or someone like that. But no, I think with a little bit more training, I mean, she's only 20 years old, she's a former soccer person, she's a mosh kid, which as soon as she said that, I was like, oh god, that's hit, but that's just personal opinion. I don't know why I said that. Anyway, it was a really fun match, though. Rhea Ripley looked like an absolute beast. They were trying to say that Miranda Salinas, even though she's good, she's just not powerful enough to keep up and fight against Rhea Ripley, and I think both women came out of it looking all right, which is that's the aim of the tournament, in my opinion. If you're going to sign these women, don't make them look like Marti Belz did. Make them look like Miranda Salinas did. It was like a, yeah, she was good, but Rhea Ripley's just one step above, and that's why she's gone on to the next round. Excited to see where this goes. Obviously, I'm probably a few weeks behind you guys. I'm on episode 3. The finals have already happened, apparently. I could be giving my opinion on these, and you could just be like, well, they went out in the next round. They were rubbish. But I think that's kind of cool, that the fact that I'm still actually a bit behind some of you. So let's keep having a look then, shall we? Because the next match was Mia Yim versus Sarah Logan. And as soon as I heard... this is me being all prejudgmental again. I heard Sarah Logan talk in her promo package and I went, oh god, she's got a Kentucky accent and she sounds like... I had flashbacks of that awful guy from Tough Enough a few years ago, and I just there like, no, she's gonna be a joke character, they won't take her seriously. And then I hear JR saying things like, oh, she's 4 days after she finished high school, she went on a plane to Japan. She's the only one in her family who's ever been on a plane, and she went and trained over there. And I was very impressed. Really liked Sarah Logan. I was actually quite gutted that she lost to Mia Yim in the end, because I was starting to go, you know what, I could really get behind Sarah. Now, I have heard a rumour that she's been signed, but we will get into that. But yeah, it really impressed me, and they both did. Mia Yim, a trained professional, a veteran of the industry for sure, and I've heard her name around for quite a few years now. The kicks and the knee strikes were fantastic. I was really impressed with those. And yeah, Sarah Logan, hopefully has been signed, according to Dave Meltzer's report. So even though she lost in the first round, I'm happy with that, because I really think that she could fit in well in NXT. I do worry that WWE would hear her accent and go, well, we've got to make you into a joke now, or I don't know why that just came into my head, but that's just how I'm feeling. I'm a bit worried about that, but her in-ring skills, I was really, really happy with. One thing about the in-ring match from the Rhea Ripley versus Miranda Salinas match that I've just realised I forgot to mention was the only thing that disappointed me about that, even though they made Rhea Ripley look like a beast, it disappointed me with her finish. The full Nelson slam, it didn't feel like it had any sort of oomph to it, and it felt like I was a bit like, oh, that's the end of the match. But still, that's something that can be worked on. And all these women, when they get signed to NXT, you can have travelled around the world and been the best wrestler ever, but when you come to NXT and WWE, there's a whole different style that you do have to learn. And you even hear it from guys like Kevin Owens, and Finn Balor talks about it a lot, about, you know, never knowing where a hard cam was, and learning those little things in the finishing classes. They've got Shawn Michaels running a finishing class. I wish I was in NXT. Like, that's the place to be. And I've heard that there's a lot of guys on the main roster who are like, oh, can we go back to NXT so we can be in that class? But no, I'm very, very... very, very excited to see where Rhea Ripley goes. But back to this match, Mia Yim versus Sarah Logan. Yeah, Sarah Logan's one that I'll have my eye on now. It's funny how you get behind the losers. But no, that's definitely one that I'm looking at. And I'll tell you something, as someone who grew up watching Divas in sort of... I did watch from 2004, but I remember one of the first Divas matches that I remember in my head... Obviously, I've seen them before because I was watching from about 2004, but I had a PlayStation Portable, a PSP, and I had, do you remember these? UMDs. They were basically, they were DVDs, but for your PlayStation Portable. And I had Raw Homecoming, and I think it was 2006, and I used to watch this every time I left the house. Honestly, my parents got so fed up of me taking this everywhere with me, and... I always remember having that on UMD, and there was a Divas match on it, one match, and it was a tag team bra and panties elimination match. And although the young 10 to 12 year old Kai was probably quite excited about watching this match over and over again, there is a part of me now that looks back and goes, that's the women's wrestling that I grew up on. I'm quite glad that what we're seeing now is what I want to see, because, let's face it, these women are now being able to wrestle like the men, and not just that, but they're able to fight like real fighters, and I think that's fantastic. I'm a big fan of it, and very, very happy that that is still the case after these couple of years since the Divas Women's Revolution began. But then I decided, you know what, I've got a little bit more time, let's go on to episode 3. And there was Aisha Raymond versus the Aussie Toni Storm. This was another blink and you miss it match, and I'll tell you why it was. It was because, well, I blinked and I missed it. I turned around to talk to a colleague in the studio here at Siren FM, and by the time I turned back around, literally a minute or two later, it had already ended, and I thought, oh, okay. So yeah, I can't even remember who won. I believe it was Toni Storm. Yes, it was Toni Storm, because Aisha Raymond, the girl from the UK, yeah, she didn't last long. That's a shame. Anyway, let's move. I don't know much about Aisha Raymond. Maybe PK could fill us in on her a little bit more, because I hear she's from the UK, but I've not heard of her on any local events or anything that I've seen advertised. But maybe PK knows more. He's our sort of grassroots guy in the independent scene in the UK right now, and he always has been. But next matchup, Dakota Kai versus Kavita Devi. Kavita Devi, yes, I think that's right. I loved Dakota Kai. I thought she had a lot of personality, and I thought she was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. I thought that it was another hard-hitting match. I love the double stomp finisher. Just like Finn Balor, really. Great analysis, Kai. Fantastic analysis. It's a bit like Finn Balor. Really enjoyed this match. And Kavita Devi... When I say I enjoyed this match, I enjoyed Dakota Kai. I think Kavita Devi has still got a long way to go. She felt a little bit one-dimensional, whereas Dakota Kai was the one where I was like, you know what, she's the one that I can imagine them building on and building a character around that they can sell, whereas Kavita Devi didn't quite feel like that for me. But I digress. Let's move on to the next match. Sage Beckett versus Bianca Belair. And I've got one thing to say about this match. Hair as a weapon. Hair as a weapon. I never thought I'd have this conversation, but probably because I never even thought about it. When are you able to use your hair as a weapon? I'm not sure. I don't know how to answer that question, because surely if you like, it's part of your body, so I guess you can. These are the two questions then. One, do you agree that you can use hair as a weapon? And two, if you do agree, why has no one ever done this before? Or not that I know of, not in the same way that she... Because I was watching her and I was like, oh, this feels like a kind of Poundland ripoff of... When she came out, I went, oh God, it's a Poundland ripoff of Sasha Banks and Naomi. But then, you know what, she was quite good, and I kind of like the hair thing. I don't know whether it would be... Surely everyone will start doing it, though, if it means that you can't. Somebody help me out here. Somebody help me out. Are you allowed to use hair in a wrestling match? Like, if I had long hair and I used it to choke... Well, you can't really choke, can you? But if I was using it as, like, a headlock sort of choke, then surely that wouldn't be allowed, or, like, a... I don't know. Somebody help me. Can you use hair as a weapon? Never thought I would say that ever on this show, but let's move on to the final match. Piper Niven versus Santara Garrett. Piper Niven versus Santara Garrett. I love Piper. I think she's ace. I think that she is in a world where they're not really... They haven't got anyone that looks like her in the WWE. She stands out. Because even though they've got people like Nia Jax, who's meant to be this big dominating heel, with Piper Niven, she doesn't... How do I say this nicely? Nia Jax, you can kind of still sell as a sex symbol. Piper Niven isn't the stereotypical sex symbol, and that's not a bad thing, especially not in professional wrestling. We're not selling sex anymore, or we... They always are, but that's not their main thing anymore. You know, like what I was talking about earlier with the growing up and watching the Divas do bra and panties matches. Those days are gone. I don't want to watch. Let's put it this way: if you watch professional wrestling solely for the fact that you're gonna see beautiful women do sexy things, then you have not discovered the internet. Use that instead. I want to watch professional wrestling to see the skill in the ring, to see the storytelling of the matches. I don't really care what they look like. Maybe... Do people disagree with me there? I don't know. let me know what you think. But Piper Niven gets the win over Santara Garrett in a fantastic match. I was really impressed with that. I know Lita pointed out that Santara took a lot of influence from some of Trish Stratus's matches. Piper Niven just looked like an absolute monster who could crush anyone. And very, very happy with that match. Excited to see where things go over the next few episodes leading into the final. I'll try to get through more of them by next week. But let me know your thoughts on the Mae Young Classic by email eurouppercut@gmail.com or, of course, on Twitter @TheEUPod. But let's take a bit of chance to talk about SmackDown and Raw from this week right after this.
This is Europe's number one professional wrestler, Gredo. It's yourself. Look, if you're down, if you feel like shit, I'm telling you, what you need to do is listen to the European Uppercut Podcast. That's right, the European Uppercut Podcast. I'll say it 3 times, the European Uppercut Podcast. It's the best podcast in the world, apart from The Art of Wrestling, Stone Cold's, JR's, Chris Jericho's, but it's definitely better than Bauer and Pollock.
Let's talk about Monday Night Raw then, because I really enjoyed this week's episode. We kicked things off, of course, with Jason Jordan versus Roman Reigns in a pretty decent match. Both guys looking very strong there. Reigns, they gave Jason Jordan a lot of chance there to really show off what he can do, and I was very happy with her, with how that went. Saying her still, because I've been talking about the Mae Young Classic for what feels like forever. But very, very happy with that match. But it was what happened afterwards that outshined everything once again. Cena and Reigns on the mic. I thought I'd be getting bored of this by now, but I tell you what, I'm really not. I think that it's brilliant. I love every single week when they come out. And Reigns is just not stepping up. I don't know whether that's something that's, you know, scripted into it or whether he really is just hanging back. But when he gets the win at the end of the day, it's not going to hurt him too much. But Cena is really... just, I can see that he's having fun with this, and I think that makes me have more fun watching it. Cena saying, oh, that line, that final line about it's going to be like a drugs test, there's no getting past me. That's brilliant. I really didn't think they were going to go there, but I'm very happy they did, because I don't know, selfishly I love that kind of stuff. I thought it was ace. So I want to know your thoughts though on the whole Roman Reigns versus John Cena stuff. And I know that me and Living Legend had a discussion about this a couple of weeks ago that I thought was really good listening back to it. And he was very much on the side of saying that he didn't really agree with everything. I'd like to know whether his thoughts have changed at all over the last few weeks. But I'll be definitely keeping an eye on that, and hopefully in a few weeks' time we'll be able to get him back on the show and talk more about it. No Mercy is coming up, guys. Be very, very excited about it. Also on the show then, we saw Braun Strowman versus John Cena. Wow, that was a good match as well. Both guys, you know what, I'm very, very happy with how they've been building Braun Strowman. He is my favourite part of Raw now, and I was very surprised that they just put this on a Raw, but I'm not going to complain. Cena gets the win technically due to the DQ, but it was Braun's music that played at the end of the day, and Braun looked dominant, so it's the best way to go. You know what? Neither guy looks bad. Cena can recuperate from that because he's just been beaten by one of the top guys, but I will say that I will say, well, he wasn't beaten, but he was beaten down by them. And I will say that I think that Braun is the superstar of this year so far, definitely, and the most well-built star that the WWE has built in a very, very long time. So very, very well done to the WWE there. And there's one other story from SmackDown that I want to talk about quickly before we head off for today's show, and that is, of course, Kevin Owens and Vince McMahon getting in each other's faces. Kevin Owens headbutting Vince McMahon straight in the middle of the forehead and blood flowing. I saw a great status on Twitter from Dave Meltzer where he was asked whether Vince would get fined for whether Vince would get fined for bleeding on SmackDown, and Meltzer said, "Well, there's two ways. If it wasn't planned beforehand for the blood, then he won't be fined. And if it was planned beforehand, then yeah, he'll be fined. But the money goes back into his own pocket, so it doesn't really matter." Which I thought was very clever indeed. But no, it did look like just a genuine hard way bust open, and I cannot imagine what was going through Kevin Owens' mind if that was the case and they had no idea that that was coming, because if you've just hit Vince McMahon in the face with your own forehead and he starts to bleed, God, I would be shitting myself. I really would. I think I'd struggle to finish that segment, but I thought it was really, really cool. Obviously, Vince couldn't take the powerbomb. I think that's the reason why they went with the frog splash. But no, Vince McMahon, I've always had a hell of a lot of respect for, and the fact that he will go out there and he won't make you do anything that he wouldn't do himself, and he definitely would do that. He went out there, proved, you know what, I will go out there, I'll take a beating, and I'm 70 years old, and you've got to follow that, basically. And Vince, leader of the pack, always had a hell of a lot of respect for him, so very, very happy with that one indeed. Overall, two great episodes of Raw and SmackDown. Very, very impressed. I'm really looking forward to No Mercy, which is coming up in a couple of weeks' time. Make sure that you come on the show next week, as we will be breaking it down some more, I believe. But we are coming towards the end of tonight's show. This has been the European Uppercut Podcast, and I'd like to say a big thank you to all our listeners around the world for tuning in, for downloading and sharing the podcast as always. I'm just checking when No Mercy is taking place, because No Mercy, they are going to be, let's take a look, because I'm starting to worry that No Mercy is taking place this week. But no, it's taking place on September the 25th. So yes, next week you can come on here, you can tune in, and we will talk more about No Mercy, give our predictions, and hopefully have a panel too. Make sure you check out all the other great shows on the Trending Topics Network, which I'm going to remind you about in a moment. But you can find me on Twitter at KaiJValentine, the show at the EU Pod, or you can find out about more about us on our Facebook page, European Uppercut Podcast, when we get chance to update that one for sure. You can also find, you can also email into the show at eurouppercut@gmail.com. And as I say, check out all the other fantastic shows, including Spanish Announce Table, All Beer Inside, European Uppercut, Tuts Experience, One Up Clubs Heads Up, Lou Chat, CFL Easy Picks, Hanging With Heavy. He's got two Ask Us Anything shows, or Ask Me Anything, sorry. Ask Me Anything, hashtag Ask Heavy Set on Twitter. Send those in and he will answer them. What's on Fight, Eurovision Showcase, Legends on Siren FM, STFU, Wrestling Cheers and TTN at the Movies. So as I say, some great shows coming up on the Trending Topics Network. We're uploading on a more than weekly basis. There are about five or six shows going out every week for sure, so something to fill your time every single day on the Trending Topics Network. Only available at where all great podcasts are available. Oh, I love doing these shows in one take. Thank you for listening to the European Uppercut Podcast. Check out my interview with Brett Myers from a few weeks ago. But most importantly, stay safe, stay healthy, and I'll see you all right back here next week.